The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of The Parents Show on Mix 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia El-Khoury, and tonight's show is really just focused on amazing, fantastic local organisations doing great work in and around the homeless. And we're also going to focus on the St. Albans Sleep Out, which I'm sure you've heard of. And maybe by the end of this show, you'll be signing yourself and your kids up to do it too. So first up, we're going to speak to Matthew Baxter and Rebecca from Hearts Young Homeless. You're very welcome on The Parents Show, Matthew and Rebecca.
Thank you for having us.
So, Matthew, let's start with you. How did you get involved with Hearts Young Homeless?
Thanks, Lydia, and thank you for inviting us on to the show as well. So kind of my journey to becoming a trustee of Hearts Young Homeless started, I think, probably about 6 or 7 years ago. We run a business in St. Albans, and we run an annual conference. And that conference sort of grew year on year to the point where we started having a dinner in the evening, and that dinner grew into a charity dinner. And we decided we wanted to focus on a local charity rather than a national charity. Our business works predominantly in and around social housing, so we felt kind of a housing-based charity would be a good one to kind of connect with. My son at the time was at school at St. Columbus College, and they'd done some volunteering with Hearts Young Homeless, so he actually suggested having a chat with Hearts Young Homeless to see if they'd be interested in being our kind of charity for that particular dinner. So they came along, gave a kind of an amazing presentation, as they always do, explaining what they do, how they support youngsters in Hertfordshire. You could have heard a pin drop at that dinner. We raised a bit of money that first year. And kind of off the back of that, I kind of fell in love with them a little bit and the great work they do. And probably about 6 months to a year later, I was asked and honoured to be asked to become a trustee. So I've been a trustee now for, I think, 5 or 6 years, kind of supporting them around issues of governance, obviously promoting them to a wider audience and kind of introducing them to other like-minded businesses in and around Hertfordshire as well, and loved absolutely every second of it.
Well, that's such a lovely story, Matthew. What a great way to get involved and you know, really lovely path. Rebecca, tell us a little bit about yourself. We're going to speak to you in greater detail towards the end of the show, but just let us tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Hearts Young Homeless.
Yeah, so I'm the events officer for Hearts Young Homeless, and I work within the fundraising team. I basically help to create fundraising events throughout the year for our charity, such as our recent gin and jazz evening in the summer. We've got an upcoming quiz night, which is next month. And of course, I'm working within the Sleep Out event in November, which is the biggest fundraiser of the year for Hearts Young Homeless. I also help to provide stewardship to our supporters who take part in challenge events, such as marathons and cycle rides. We essentially rely on our supporters to fundraise for us so that we can continue to provide the vital services. So we're so grateful for everyone within the community who does participate within our events.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about your role, Matthew, back to you within it. You said you're a trustee. What does that involve?
Kind of what the trustee role is one to provide kind of, I guess, a bit of kind of third party advice to the organisation. So there's a mixture of trustees, so people with different specialisms. So we have somebody from an accountancy background who obviously supports around the money side of HYH. We have a couple of people from a fundraising background who obviously provide advice to the amazing fundraising team at HYH as well. So it's kind of a group of people, all of whom are fairly local, fairly passionate about the issues that HYH deal with as well, but hopefully bring a bit of a third eye into the organisation as well. And I think particularly in my role as a sort of local businessman, particularly working in the housing and construction sector, is trying to introduce potential partners to HYH that can come on board and support the various events that HYH do, particularly obviously the Sleep Out, which as Rebecca said, is the big one. It's the one that really focuses, I think, people's hearts and minds on what the issues are around homelessness.
Well, that was a perfect segue to my next question, the big Sleep Out. Mm-hmm. So if anybody's been living under a stone and doesn't know what the big Sleep Out is, can you tell them, Matthew?
Yeah, sure. So I think to me, it's twofold from where I sit. I think the first thing is obviously for people to have a very short experience of what it's like to not have a home and not have a roof over their head, which is a very humbling experience. I'm sure we'll come back to that over the course of the conversation. But secondly, it's also to raise awareness to the local communities as well around kind of what the issues are. Obviously, it's an HYH event, but there's lots of other charities who we're talking to tonight as well that kind of benefit, I think, from kind of shining the spotlight on the issue of homelessness. And unfortunately, with everything that's going on in our country, particularly at the moment, around the cost of living crisis, fuel poverty, the sort of pressures on households that I think sort of a legacy of COVID has caused. Unfortunately, and certainly at HYH, we're busier than we've ever been at the moment. You know, I think the word crisis and is often overused, but I think we are at a crisis point in the country at the moment. And I think anybody who walks regularly through any town or any city would have noticed an increase in street homeless people. The intervention work, which is what HYH focus on, the numbers are spiking dramatically as well. And like every charity, without donations, without the support of the great people of Hertfordshire, we wouldn't exist. You know, we are fundamentally reliant on people supporting us and helping us. And that's both commercial organisations that can provide that kind of corporate support, but also individual donations, which are just as important as well. So it really does, I think, raise that spotlight on it. But I think for me, the first time I did it, particularly, I did feel like a bit of a fraud, because it was, you know, look at me, I'm sleeping outside. Aren't I brave? I've got my sleeping bag, I've got my jumper. And it was a shocking experience. And it was particularly cold the first year I did it. But then I went home to my house and I had a bath and I had a cup of tea. And that's when I actually reflected and it really hit me. So I think if you do the sleep out, you do feel that you're doing that good thing of sharing that experience. But you then realise that you're very fortunate that you're going back to the bosom of your family. You're going back to a warm house. And unfortunately, lots of people that are homeless haven't got that opportunity. I think it's really twofold for me. It's a tiny bit of that shared experience of what it's like, and also raising the profile and putting the spotlight on the issues around homelessness as well. So a really, really good event.
And I think you're very humble to say you feel like a bit of a fraud, but I could imagine that we're all quite privileged and we would all feel that way to a certain extent. I mean, it's only one night out of the year that we have to even consider putting ourselves in somebody else's shoes or in the shoes of somebody who's homeless, and then to go home and have a hot bath. But I hear what you're saying.
But even for one night, Lydia, it's shocking. You know,
is it?
November, most years we've done it, it's been cold, but it hasn't been freezing cold. I can't even imagine what it must be like to sleep out on the streets when it's sub-zero. It really does get into your soul, definitely.
I'm sure a lot of the parents and indeed children who might be listening into the show, like, can't imagine that people actually really do it when it's freezing outside. Are there homeless people? Surely they've somewhere to go, some shelter to find somewhere. But the reality is, for some, there is nowhere to go.
Absolutely. I mean, we proved as a country that we could get homeless people off the streets. We did it during COVID, did it really well. Everybody rallied around, but things unfortunately started normalising fairly quickly. I remember vividly talking to people during COVID around the compassion that people started showing. People actually stopped and talked to homeless people. You saw it in St Albans. You know, if you walk through the high street in St Albans, people would stop and talk to the homeless people. I think that's stopped again a little bit already. I think we have gone back to normality a bit, and it is such still a big issue as well. And particularly, and I'm sure Rebecca will talk about this far more eloquently than I will, is about how important that intervention is to try and catch. And that's the focus of HYH, is to try and stop people becoming homeless and try and catch them, catch the families, get involved, get in there and support those families that are in crisis, to hopefully try and stop youngsters getting into that position where they are ending up on the streets. And I think Rebecca probably will quote me on the stats, but the vast majority of people who are homeless as adults were homeless as teenagers. That's when it starts. It's, you know, it's if we can try and catch it and intervene as early as possible, hopefully we can stop some of those people that do unfortunately end up on the streets.
And we've been really fortunate to talk to HYH before, and it is that prevention element to the work that they do, which is so stellar and really, really important. Matthew, can I just pull you back a bit? And just you said during COVID the situation changed. Why was it possible then? Why is it not possible now?
That's a very good question, and one I'm sure everybody on this call's got a fairly strong opinion on. I think there was a willingness. I think local authorities particularly went the extra mile, certainly a lot of the clients we work with, particularly some of the London boroughs, were requisitioning hotels that were empty, because clearly people weren't staying in hotels at the time. So there was more availability of accommodation, that it was easier to go and basically scoop people up and bring them in. And I just think there was just generally, we were all more compassionate during lockdown. I think a lot of people have forgotten, you know, how dark those times were already. And I think with all the other things that the housing sector particularly is dealing with at the moment, it's probably, I'd say it's fallen off the radar would be an overstatement, but I think it didn't have the priority it had during COVID. Although there is still some fantastic work going on by lots of housing organisations to try and prevent homelessness, I think we've gone backwards a little bit since COVID finished.
It's quite a sobering thought, and I'll very happily come to and bring that up with all our guests at a later point. But back to the big sleep out, Matthew, what would you say to any parent who's listening in, or any teen? I mean, what age group would you like to see turn up for the big sleep out? And
I think, Lizzie, I think all age groups, and it was great last year. I think we probably had the biggest cross-section of different groups that I've seen in the years I've been doing the sleep out. So we've had scout groups there, so groups of youngsters with their scout leaders. We've had families. I think there was a three-generation family there last year, so grandparents, children, and the grandchildren were there as well. There was groups of teenagers. I think there was some groups from the university as well. Lots of businesses, I think particularly some of the businesses that support HYH had teams of people there as well. And we've certainly done that a few years where we've had maybe six or seven people from the team there, some with family, some with not, as a group, and made it a bit of a kind of shared experience as well. So I think anybody really would get something out of doing it. And as I said, it is that kind of that shared experience. You do, when it finishes and everybody goes back in at the end, you kind of all do look at each other going, just imagine having, if this was your life, if this was your normal, this is you every morning, you've got to experience, every night you've got to try and find somewhere to warm to sleep, you've got to try and find some cardboard to pull over yourself. You know, it's difficult enough doing it for one night, but imagine that's your normal for 365 days of the year. And it's I think you see that on everybody's faces, particularly the people that are doing it for the first time. And I know people that have done it once have then encouraged other people to come and do it for that reason. As well. But yeah, I think it's a good, I think most people are very compassionate and care about other people. And I think, you know, a family doing it in a family, right? Last year, I had my wife and my son, the three of us did it as a group as well. And it hit my son like a train.
Did it?
It really did. It really did. He was very, very emotional, not just the following day, but for a few days, just thinking, it just made him think about differently about perhaps how fortunate he was in his situation. Obviously, he's got me as a dad, so that aside, you know, he's not too bad. He's always had food on his plate. He's always had a roof over his head. And unfortunately, lots of people don't have that. So, yeah, I would encourage particularly families, I think, to come along as well. And then probably have quite a sobering conversation about the process and the event the next day as well.
Would you mind just giving us, set the scene a little bit for us, Matthew, of what it entails? When do you turn up? What do you bring with you? What can you expect during the night?
Yeah, well, one of my colleagues 4 years ago did actually pull up in a Range Rover with a sleeping bag, a tent, and we kind of shoved that all back in fairly quickly and said, that's not really what it's about, but good effort. It is trying to, as best as possible, recreate what it is. So effectively, you can bring a sleeping bag with you. You can obviously dress in warm clothes. And there is a provision there now of lots and lots of cardboard. So when you get there is a very large mountain of cardboard there. And then it's up to you then in your group to then take that cardboard and make the best of it as you can. What I should say is there is lots of support there. So if people are struggling a bit, you can obviously go into the building. So, you know, if you are outside and it does get too cold, or if you need to use the facilities, that backup is there. There are also obviously first aiders on site as well. And there are also some pop-ups there for hot drinks over the course of the evening and in the morning as well. So you can kind of make it as much of an experience you want. I remember last year there was a group of people that got it and headed off into the woods at Oaklands. But most people stay around the footprint of the building as well. So there is a kind of community spirit to the event as well, and quite a lot of interaction with the other groups as well. I certainly had some very interesting conversations, particularly with the scout group that were there as well, talking to some of them about why they were doing it, etc. as well. It's very well facilitated by all the charities as well. So all the charities are represented there. So when you get there and you register, you can talk to all the different charities about what they do. And it certainly opened my eyes to some of the other charities in Hertfordshire as well, broadening my horizon from HYH as well. There's entertainment before we start as well. And obviously some presentations from the charities about what the purpose of the event is as well. And there's a breakfast in the morning before people head home as well. So yeah, there is obviously a kind of a lot of care around the event as well. And it's very safe. And I know that's what some people are concerned about, is, you know, sort of about sleeping outside. It's within a kind of confined area. There are security people wandering around as well to keep an eye on everybody as well. So if any families or any parents are concerned around any health and safety or safeguarding issues, that's all very well managed as part of the process as well.
And last question, Matthew, did you sleep actually?
I slept for about 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first year I didn't sleep at all that I did it. The second year I slept fairly well, but that's because I remember to take a cushion, which I've managed to forget every other year. And that's the one thing you realise, that you do take cushions and pillows for granted. But no, I wouldn't say I slept comfortably, but I did get some sleep. But there were people snoring. I have to be honest, there were some people that clearly were not affected by sleeping outside who were in fairly deep slumber. So there was quite a cacophony of snoring coming from one particular very well-constructed cardboard encampment last year. So yeah.
That's great. Well, it's good to know it didn't impact some people too badly. But so, Matthew, any last words of encouragement for anybody wavering about whether to sign up or not? From your experience, why would you tell them to click?
I think the one thing I always say is just kind of think about where you are as a person or as a family, and just click your fingers and think how long it takes to click your fingers, because that's how long it takes for your life to change. Lots of people that are in these situations aren't there by choice. It's life circumstances. I think we are very fortunate, a lot of us, particularly obviously in Hertfordshire. You know, it's a fairly affluent area, but there are still a huge amount of the particularly youngsters that really, really do need the support. I obviously hear those stories. I meet service users and it's, I can't put in words how humbling it is to hear the support that the HYH team and all the charities that are involved in the Sleep Out give to those people. And they are all charities. You know, you take the funding away, they cease to exist. Without people supporting them, donating them, that support disappears. And I can't even imagine what this country would be like without the charity sector. So I think it's really important, particularly in the times that we're in. Everybody is tight for money at the moment. But I just would urge people to always think about still supporting local charities, particularly ones that are dealing with kind of issues as important as all the charities involved in the Sleep Out, and make it an event. You know, it is something, you know, we've our team here have had it in their diary since the day it was announced. We'll have a team there this year as well. And it does become, I think, a bit of a kind of annual event that kind of we look forward to supporting, you know. And I think year on year, and I'm sure the figures will get quoted later, but I think year on year, it's got bigger, it's got better, it's making more money for the charities as well. And it does become that kind of signature event for the charity. So yeah, so I would urge anybody who's thinking about it, speak to other people that have done it. If you're concerned about it, if you have got any issues around the safety side, speak to Rebecca or any of the other charities, and they'll hopefully give you that comfort there as well. But I know certainly I before I did it for the first time, I spoke to people who've done it before, and they said, you know, it's something you really should experience. So yeah, that would be my advice.
Brilliant. Matthew, thanks so much for taking the time to meet with us on the
Parents. No, it's a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the platform. Really appreciate it, Lydia.
Our pleasure. So, and don't forget your cushion this year, hey?
I definitely won't. I've got a nice Peppa Pig one this year.
Brilliant. Okay, that's Matthew Baxter, trustee at Hearts Young Homeless. Thanks for joining us on the Parents Show.
Thank you.
So now we'll take a little break and come back in just a minute with two more fantastic charities doing work in the St. Albans area. We've got Lucy from Open Door and Melanie from Centre 33. Welcome back on the Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Lydia El-Khoury, and I'm delighted to be joined by, actually, I've got three members of the charity community in St. Albans joining me. I've got Lucy from Open Door, Melanie from Centre 33, and Rebecca from Hearts Young Homeless. It's an absolute pleasure to have you all on the Parents Show this evening. So let's start with Lucy. So you work at Open Door. Can you tell us a little bit about the work Open Door does locally?
Yep. So I'm one of the charity's trustees, and I also coordinate the charity's Winter Beds Project. The Open Door charity supports the Open Door Night Shelter that's based in Central St Albans, which is a 12-bed, 28-day night shelter for people experiencing rough sleeping. It gives priority to people who have a local connection to St Albans, but is there as a resource for anybody who finds themselves rough sleeping in St Albans. The charity supports the night shelter by providing food provisions and also the volunteers who go in and cook meals on a daily basis for residents of the night shelter. We also bring in extra support services for people accessing the night shelter and also rough sleeping in St Albans. So we provide and fund an extra counselling service, and we are looking at funding drug and alcohol support services as well. So we provide some kind of extra services that otherwise people would struggle to access. Alongside the work that we do with volunteers in the night shelter, we also run the Winter Beds Project, and that provides accommodation for people who find themselves rough sleeping in St Albans over winter. So when the weather gets really cold, when the sleep out's taking place, we provide a warm, safe place for people to sleep over the winter months. And that, again, is for anybody who finds themselves rough sleeping in St Albans.
Fabulous work, Lucy, and hard work as well. I'm sure it's quite challenging.
Yeah, it is, because particularly with things like the Winter Beds Project, we're really close to the front line, and you do see how quickly people's life circumstances change. I think 40% of the people who accessed the Winter Beds Project last year were actually in full-time employment. So it just shows, you know, even if you're working, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can access affordable accommodation.
I think that's a lot for people to wrap their heads around. The idea that you could be in full-term employment but unable to afford housing is quite shocking.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's where we are with the kind of state of affordable accommodation. Everybody knows that St Albans particularly is one of the most sought after places to live in the UK, and house prices and rent reflect that. But we still need people doing, you know, frontline important work in the St Albans area. But where do people live? How do people access the area?
And Lucy, how long has Open Door been operating in St Albans? And do you work in a wider area?
This is actually our 30th year. So this year we're celebrating 30 years Wow. of the Open Door charity. So we do have quite a footing in St Albans alongside other really established charities like Centre 33 and Hearts Young Homeless. We've been supporting the night shelter that entire time, but we have taken on kind of new projects like the Winter Beds Project.
That is so impressive. 30 years. And I have to say, I love the collaboration between your organisations. I think it's very special and very, very praiseworthy. And how far do you reach? Is it just St Albans City, or do you go further out?
So we just work within St Albans, really. But like I said, St Albans being quite a big town locally in Hertfordshire, it does attract people from all over sort of Hertfordshire and beyond. And we will work with anybody who finds themselves rough sleeping in St Albans.
Yeah, I mean, what's our population? Over 60,000 people. So yeah, it's sizable enough, isn't it? We touched on this with Matthew about the situation and how it's evolved in the last couple of years. I'd love to hear your take, Lucy.
Yeah, I just echo what Matthew says, really. It was incredible during the pandemic. Local charities worked together tirelessly to support people being brought in to accommodation, and we saw some incredible outcomes for people. The year the pandemic sort of broke, we had everybody who was accommodated in the Winter Beds Project was then given accommodation in housing, and a lot of them sort of turned their lives around off the back of that. So it showed that actually housing can often be a gateway for people completely transforming their lives and dealing with other issues. We have seen a return back to the numbers that are pre-pandemic, and we expect that to continue. And unfortunately to increase. We have the cost of living crisis, the cost of accommodation, all the measures that were brought in to give people sort of easements during the pandemic, like pauses on evictions from private rented accommodation, they've all come to an end. So we're facing this kind of cliff edge where economy is getting harder and we're sort of back to square one. For all sense and purposes.
It's very disappointing.
It really is.
And it must be quite disheartening for you to see the improvement and then just to regress. And are we talking about new people who've come on the streets or people who had managed to sort their lives out that are now back on the streets?
I think it's a combination. I think people are much closer to the breadline than they've ever been before. So there are new people coming onto the streets. But equally, as Matthew said, a lot of people who find themselves rough sleeping, the trauma that's led them there starts very early on. So there's years and years of kind of unpicking that. So just because, you know, stuff's resolved in terms of housing doesn't necessarily mean that all of their support needs are addressed all at once. So it's having the continuous support available for people. But often at the moment, services are being cut. Mental health services, drug and alcohol services aren't receiving the funding they used to. So the vital support services that keep people in accommodation aren't necessarily there either.
And so, I mean, the focus of the show tonight is to talk about the great work you're doing and specifically about the Big Sleep Out. So tell me about Open Door's role in that.
So we've been involved in the Sleep Out since its conception. So I think alongside, I said Open Door is celebrating their 30th year. I think this might even be the 29th year of the Sleep Out itself. So, you know, we've got a long history of being involved and, you know, we're always grateful to Hearts Young Homeless for all the work that they do to organise it. And the fact that it sort of, it promotes the collaboration of local charities and how we do all work together and support each other. So it raises awareness of what we do, how we do it and who we support and that we do actually all work together to do that.
And have you done it yourself, Lucy?
I haven't. My excuse for that is the last sort of 4 years I've been involved in the Open Door charity. I've got a four-year-old child, so it's been difficult for me to get out. But the minute it's an age-appropriate activity for him, he will be sleeping out with me for sure.
I think when Matthew said it's for everybody, I think he probably meant under fives, even under eight. Yeah. I think there is probably an age limit, but that's fantastic. And tell us how can we as parents and guardians in St. Albans support the work that Open Door are doing?
I think it's just raising awareness and thinking about the work that we do at the forefront of any fundraising activities that you might want to be involved in. All the charities involved in the Sleep Out are reliant on fundraising activities and the work and donations of all our fundraising volunteers. So if you are arranging coffee mornings, if you want to be involved in the Sleep Out, if you're doing things collectively or individually, please bear in mind the work of local charities.
Brilliant. Thanks a million, Lucy. And stay with us while we continue the conversation about the great work your organisations are doing in St. Albans. So next, I'd like to bring in Melanie from Centre 33. Melanie, thanks a million for joining us this evening.
Hi, Lydia. Hello. Pleasure to be here.
So, can you share a little bit about what Centre 33 does?
Yes. So Centre 33 was set up over 40 years ago by local churches, really to help support individuals who were coming out at then the mental hospitals that were closing, and in some cases out of prison. And there was serious concern that there would be a lot of people turning up on the streets who had nothing to do and no way to go. So Centre 33 was set up to provide practical support for those people. So we've been going, as I say, for a very long time. And what we've seen over the years that the demographic of individuals who use our service has changed somewhat. So we still offer practical support to anybody who turns up on our door. But at the moment, we're largely providing hot meals, hot drinks, some clothes, and a very warm welcome to anybody in St. Albans who needs it 5 nights a week. We have premises in St. Albans, but they're not very accessible to anybody who finds it a struggle to get upstairs. And actually, they're quite tiny, and it was quite difficult. In fact, it was impossible to use them during the COVID lockdown. but very kindly, the local Salvation Army offered us the use of their citadel premises, and we're still using that today, actually, to provide the meal service and drinks and clothes to anybody who turns up on the doorstep. We provide the service 5 nights a week.
How much of your work depends on volunteers and on financial support?
All of it, actually. We have no funded employees. We have a bank. At one point, it was about 300 local people who very kindly volunteered their services, absolutely free. I would say the active numbers have fallen down significantly since COVID. And now we're operating with, I guess, maybe around about 60 very active volunteers, but we have no funded positions at all. Our income, we get a small grant when we apply for it from the local council and from Harts County Council, but we're entirely dependent on the donations that we get from individuals or local organisations, local churches, local companies. And that's basically what keeps us going.
And how can people, or how do people donate? So you're literally, the service you provide is dependent on donations. So if there's a dip in donations, you can't really fulfill the service that that you're all volunteering to do.
Exactly right. So it costs us something like, about £20,000 to run the service each year. And we're reliant on donations for all of that funding. People can donate to us directly by going to our website, centre33.org, and it's very clear there how to donate. And actually, it's so much easier for us if people donate money rather than donate meals, because it's actually quite difficult for us to organise meals that are prepared, and ensure that our visitors are actually getting some variety in their menu. By managing the menu ourselves and actually providing the food ourselves, we know exactly what the people who are coming get to eat. So the best way to support Centre 33 is to volunteer, to help us run the rota and to cook and serve the meals, or to donate financially to us. And we're just so grateful to those who do donate, and as grateful, if not more grateful, to those who actually donate their time to come and prepare the meals and to serve them.
Fantastic work, Melanie, and thanks for sharing it. So what exactly, what are the biggest challenges? I mean, we're hearing about the financial situation, which is obviously a challenge. What other challenges do you experience?
The main concern we have at the moment is that we need to bring people off the streets into premises to have a dine-in service so they can eat their meals comfortably while it's warm, where it's warm. At the moment, we're offering a takeaway service. It's hot meals served at the door of the Salvation Army in the evenings. And that's been fine during the lovely summer we've had. But of course, we're heading into autumn. And as the weather deteriorates, it's not much fun. As happened last year, for people to be offered a takeaway service and then have to go and find somewhere to sit and eat it. So we desperately need the facility to run a dining service. And one of the things that we find is that even if some of the visitors we have are in the process of being housed, let's say, or in the process of going through a temporary accommodation, they want somewhere to come and chat to each other and to our volunteers, that they want to feel included, just like you or I would go for a coffee with somebody or go out for a meal. Sometimes these people have such limited means that there is very little opportunity for them to socialize. And so we see ourselves increasingly providing a major support around inclusivity, providing some social interaction and enabling to feel that they're welcome and they're wanted in our organisation. So the main challenge at the moment is looking to understand how we can set up at the dine-in service during the winter months.
I know your work firsthand. I was lucky enough one time at a school event, there was a substantial amount of leftover food, and somebody rang Centre 33 to ask if you wanted it. And obviously it's great, but it's not helpful at the same time just to get a big load of food when you've already planned your menus and you knew what you were doing. But I got to meet some of your volunteers and see some of the meet some of the people who are receiving snack bags. And there's really such a lovely, kind social atmosphere at the kind of distribution point in the centre of town. It really, it has a lovely, lovely buzz about it.
Yes, we're very grateful to for people who think of us. I mean, the most important thing is not to forget that Centre 33 exists. And the very fact that people think about donating their leftover food, that's great that they're thinking about us. But we have limited storage space. We don't know how long food will keep. We have to plan a menu so that our visitors can get a hot meal. So actually, it's not helpful to have food donated at very short notice to us. If it's got a longer term, something that can be donated on a regular basis, then we can consider that. But it is again quite a challenge to manage a situation where food is unpredictable.
Of course, and I had only realised that when we arrived at the distribution point that it's a nice idea, but it doesn't actually really work in reality. So the donation, you know, a small amount each month is probably much more helpful to Centre 33 than exactly a big bag of bread rolls.
Yes, indeed.
So tell us about your involvement in the Sleep Out.
So as with Open Door, we have been involved in the Sleep Out since I think it began. It was initially set up at St. Albans Abbey. So the Sleep Out used to take place in the Abbey grounds. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was, the Abbey was having some major building work and so could no longer accommodate the sleepers. And that was when Oaklands College very kindly stepped in and offered their wonderful facilities to use. So Centre 33, along with the other charities, you know, has been involved in the Sleep Out for a very long time. It's our major fundraising event in the year, and we're just so grateful to those individuals who offer to sleep out and choose Centre 33 as their charity to support. But we've seen the Sleep Out go from strength to strength as new charities have joined. Some charities have moved away from the Sleep Out and doing other things to raise funds. But the Sleep Out works for us. And as we've heard from the other charities, we work together so closely. And again, we're so grateful to Hearts Young Homeless, who do the lion's share of the organisation. We've often, with Open Door, have organised refreshments during the evening. And that obviously has helped the sleepers. We've been operating in the Sleep Out for many, many years.
Great, Melanie. Thanks for sharing the great work you do, and best of luck with the Sleep Out. Can you just remind our listeners of how they can donate?
If they contact Centre 33's website, centre33.org, that will take you straight away to the donation page. We have a Just Giving page also specifically for the Sleep Out. So if people prefer, they can donate via Just Giving. But please do donate. It's really, and Sleep Out for us. Sleep Out for at least for one of the charities, but Sleep Out, you're helping us enormously.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot, Melanie. And Lucy, back to you just for a final word. What would you say to parents who are listening in there, and how can they get in touch to support the great work Open Door does?
So Open Door, like Centre 33, we're entirely reliant on the donations of our generous fundraisers. And we're also a volunteer charity, so we're always looking for new volunteers to either work in the night shelter or to support the work of the Winter Beds Project. So you can find out more information about the Open Door charity and how you can donate at www.opendoorstalbans.org, or you can email us at info@opendoorstalbans.org.
Fantastic. Lucy and Melanie, thank you so much for joining us on the Parents Show this evening. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Hopefully see you on the big Sleep Out.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Lydia. Thank you.
So we'll just take a quick break and come back to the third part of our show, where we'll talk in depth to Rebecca, who is joining us from Hearts Young Homeless. Welcome back to the Parents Show on Mix 92.6. And we're delighted to have Rebecca Pauling from Hearts Young Homeless joining us this evening. Rebecca, thanks. You've been with us throughout the whole show. Thanks so much for joining us and for giving us your time.
Hi, Lydia. Thank you so much for having us on the show. It's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit. So we've heard a taster and of what Hearts Young Homeless does, but can you give us a little bit more in-depth information about what you do?
Yeah, so Hearts Young Homeless offer a wide range of services to help young vulnerable people in Hertfordshire. We mainly work with young people aged 16 to 24 and their families. And the main focus of our charity is to prevent homelessness, and we have a wide range of services in this area, such as delivering education in schools on topics such as leaving home and healthy relationships, providing mediation sessions to help resolve family conflicts, our homeless hub, outreach services, and helping those who have mental health needs or substance misuse, as well as being at risk of homelessness. We also launched our brand new accommodation project called Future Roots at the beginning of the year, which is essentially a house we rent from Welwyn Garden City Council to help transition young vulnerable people from homelessness to independent living. It's a really exciting project and an opportunity for the young people. Some of the residents have already obtained employment and are making great progress, which is just so wonderful to see.
Excellent. And tell us, what is the most important thing that Hearts Young Homeless is out to achieve?
Essentially, we just want to reach as many young people in need as we can to prevent them from ever having to experience that worry and stress of becoming homeless, and helping them to just find that stability. Most of us take for granted having somewhere safe to come home to, or a roof over our heads, or even the support of a loving family. But sadly, there are thousands of young people in Hertfordshire who just don't have this. We want to be able to support them and ensure that they have someone to turn to if they ever do reach that crisis point. And of course, we just want to raise awareness of Hearts Young Homeless as well, and spread the word far and wide about what we do, so that as many people as possible will know about our work. So if they ever unfortunately come across a friend or a family member that needs our services, they know who to come to. And we just hope that as many people as possible will be able to support us by raising those vital funds in fundraising and sharing our stories on social media.
And that's a perfect opportunity. Tell us how we can reach you on social media.
Yes, so we are on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're also on LinkedIn, and we've just launched a TikTok account as well, which is really exciting. So you can find us on all those avenues, and also by visiting our website as well, which is just www.hyh.org.
That's it. I mean, I follow you, I think, on Twitter and Instagram, and you know, it's a great opportunity to just see the great work you're doing, and it's lovely to see how much you do. Right, so we've spoken about challenges, and we know we're in the middle of a cost of living crisis. Mm-hmm. How is it impacting HYH?
Yeah, so sadly, with the cost of living crisis, and of course, the long-term knock-on effects of COVID as well, we are seeing more and more young people with complex needs and mental health issues. Last year, for example, we had 74 referrals in total to our mediation service, and 94% of this resulted in the prevention of family breakdown and homelessness, which is amazing. But unfortunately, the true need of this is so much higher, and we had to close our waiting list due to the volume of referrals. But we do expect this demand to keep on growing on our services at a time when, of course, fundraising is becoming increasingly difficult because of the cost of living crisis, which is why events such as the St Albans Sleep Out are just so important to raise those vital funds so our services can reach those who need it the most.
And can you paint a picture of a success story? I don't expect specific details of a person, but how what's your ideal outcome for a young person who might be engaged with your service?
Yeah, ultimately, we just want that young person to find stability and to avoid homelessness. Our focus is usually to keep that young person in the family home where is possible, because we find this tends to be the best outcome. Or alternatively, to give that young person the support and guidance so that they are able to live independently and move on with their education or employment. Every service user that comes to us presents very different needs, and quite often there just isn't a quick fix. So it's about working together with that young person to create a better outcome and a brighter future for them.
Brilliant. It's just fantastic to hear that focus. Are you worried like Lucy and Melanie about, and indeed Matthew, about this upcoming winter?
Certainly, yes. I'm sure all the other homeless charities will say the same, in that winter is always a challenging time for homelessness. And with all of the problems such as the cost of living crisis, it's just going to increase the demand for the services, which again is why the funds being raised from events such as the Sleep Out are so important. And I think events like the Sleep Out, like Matthew said earlier, being in November, it does open your eyes up to the struggles that homeless people will face, having to sleep outside, especially in the winter. You can also expect to see HYH taking part in a wide range of Christmas fundraising activities this winter as well, to help raising those vital funds, such as being in shopping centres, outside supermarkets, so we can just continue to spread the word about HYH and raise the funds to help those who need it the most.
Thank you. And so how is funding going generally? The Sleep Out is an important fundraiser. How much government support does your organisation get?
Definitely. So the Sleep Out is our biggest fundraiser of the year, so it's very important to us. And also, due to the current climate and that cost of living crisis, we are seeing the knock-on effects with fundraising. And sadly, there will always be more young people who need our services, so fundraising is always going to be essential for us. Although we are lucky to receive funding from statutory funders such as Herts County Council and other grant funders, but we also do have to raise our own funds to cover the additional costs. And we're so grateful to all of our supporters who do raise funds for us. With regards to the Sleep Out, for example, Herts Young Homeless is very kindly being sponsored by Buyagift, who have supported us on numerous occasions in the past, and we have a great relationship with them, so we're so thankful for that.
Brilliant. I mean, I can't thank you all enough for the work you do to support and prevent homelessness in and around the St. Albans area. I hope everybody will pick one of you guys, do the Sleep Out, support the Sleep Out. I hope it's the biggest fundraiser ever this year, to help you be armed and ready for the winter ahead. But Lucy, Melanie and Rebecca, thanks so much for joining us and telling us about the great work you do.
Thank you, Lydia. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lydia.